Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Polished Woman, only on LA Talk Radio.
The Polished Woman.
And now your host, award winner Jessica R. Vunovac.
Yay! Thank you, Max. We have our third award today.
Is it our third?
Yeah.
Or is it our fourth?
I think, but our third trophy that arrived today.
Yay!
Happy Monday. Happy good news to the Polish Woman team. Woohoo! And LA Talk Radio. We have another award from W3. Hey, we are the best outstanding talk show for podcast, The Polished Woman.
Hey!
Yay!
Outstanding show!
Yeah!
For a podcast.
This is a very nice trophy. So can I just put this here?
Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you. Congratulations to us.
Indeed.
All of us. Right?
And we also have our Davey Award coming.
Yes, this is for our, we won for our...
I Love You.
I Love You, the PSA, I Love You.
Outstanding PSA.
Yes, Outstanding PSA, shoot.
And what? We're nominated for Webby Awards.
So that's our last, right? Is it our last for
When we win the Webby, we'll have the Davey, the Webby, the Telly, the Communicator, and the W3.
Yes, we have everything. We want everything. Hey, thank you so much for all the judges. You know,
yeah.
We are being acknowledged and we're seen by the judges and these beautiful people acknowledge us. So thank you so much. Thank you very much from W3 Communicator and Telly Awards
and Davey. Davey. Yeah.
Award. Thank you so much.
It's so exciting. I remember when you first won the Telly Award, I was in Italy. And I was trying to call you all morning long and you were sleeping. I said, yes, sleeping. And then you're like, what? I said, you want to tell me. And then you want to come back here. And then you want a W3.
Right? I know. It's crazy. I mean,
this is
wonderful. It's a blessing. And, you know, people ask me, what are you grateful for? This is what I'm grateful for. Whatever purpose I'm doing and being... the achievement that I have done, because you pushed me, Max, and LA Talk Radio supported me. All of you guys supported me. So thank you. Thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. From me, who actually, that's why, if you have dreams and you have goals, pursue it and never give up. That's my never give up moment. I almost actually gave up. But you need that person, your angel, your guardian angel, like Max, to push you, right? To push you to do the purpose.
I remember.
Yeah.
I remember when we were going to do the first show three years ago. And you're crying. You were driving like on Benedict Canyon or something. No, I was driving on Benedict Canyon. You were driving like in Malibu or something. You were by
I
the
was
beach.
In San Diego.
Yeah, San Diego. Uh-huh. And you're like, love, I can't do this. And you're crying. And I was like, bullshit. Yeah. You will do this.
1 hour. We were talking for 1 hour. Remember? For 1 hour.
I was like, no, this is your purpose. This is what God wants you to do. You have to do it.
Yeah.
And that's why, again, every time we go through these award seasons, I think when you do your purpose, when you do for your show, it's that you're acknowledged for doing your work. So congratulations for doing your work because you do, you've been committed to this. And, I'm doing an article for a magazine that they're interviewing me and they're like, oh, what are some things about podcasting? Because I've been doing it 12 years.
Yeah.
And the one thing that I always see is that people give up and they think that it's really easy to just, get guests and it's not. This is this is a commitment and it's one
it
that if you stay committed like you do, Jess, you're acknowledged for doing your work. So you do your work.
Yeah. It's so, and a lot of people want to have a podcast, right? A lot of people, they want to start and then they don't finish. But for me also, like how people say, oh, I have so much to say. That's why I want to have a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I actually don't have so much to say. It's only, everything is based on my life experience. But the people that we invite on our show, Max, right? We learn from them.
So much.
Like literally, it's like therapy for me to be out here and listening and getting all this advice from all the guests that we have, that we had, and we're still having on the show. It's just, you know, it's a very uplifting for me. And I hope that we touch, every Monday we touch, you know, the heart of, you know, all these women who listen to us and watch us every Monday.
Yeah. So and it's not only every Monday, because now Jess is on every platform, podcasting platform. So if you miss Monday, there's no need to worry. Always follow Jessica on Instagram at The Polished Woman. And there she's on everything. iHeartRadio, Apple, Google, Podbean. So wherever you like listening to podcasts, you can find The Polished Woman. So it's not just on Mondays. But we love for you to be here on Mondays because we're live
on Mondays. And so, in December, I kind of want to give away, just to give back to all these women. So try to share your story to me on The Polished Woman. Message me, direct message me on The Polished Woman Instagram. Share your story. And I, you know, we are having a guest next, I think next Monday or the Monday after. And she will give away a couple of surprises.
And then we have your favorite things coming up. Right. Well, speaking of favorite things, because we got to get into the show, but I know that we wanted to talk about this when we were doing pre-production about the show The Undoing with Nicole Kidman.
Oh my God.
On HBO, because you were inspired to do your Nicole Kidman curls.
Yes. It's coming out on one of my reels. What?
Last night was the final episode.
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my gosh. My husband and I like literally had to wait and watch together, and we bet. And he was like, okay, so who do you think killed, you know, is the killer at the end?
Let's not say who did it, because in case people haven't seen it.
Oh yeah, okay.
If you haven't seen the Undoing on HBO Max, just tell everybody.
Oh my gosh. Watch it.
Because riveting, addictive.
Addictive, and I was inspired by her, Nicole Kidman's hair.
And not only, you know, it's the writing is brilliant. It's a limited series. The acting is brilliant. So it's definitely a good show. But speaking of good shows, we've got to get on with The Polished Woman here on LA Talk Radio.
Yes.
Tell us about today's show.
Today's show is very important. This is an episode or a subject or topic that is not being tackled or being talked about often, because sometimes especially on mainstream, because somehow women nowadays, they don't realize that, okay, I'm going through postpartum. They won't admit it. Just like having, you know, anxiety and having, you know, and trying to see therapists. Just, I mean, it took me 40 plus years to realize that I need a therapy, you know, and they won't, you know, they won't admit it. So this is very important for you out there, for you moms out there who just gave birth and who are actually pregnant. This is all for you. And this balancing work and, you know, the motherhood during COVID. So please, please get your pens and paper and write down, you know, write the notes from our, what do you call that? From our special expert. Yeah, important show. So to be a good parent, you need to take care of yourself so that you have the physical and emotional energy to take care of your family. From Michelle Obama. I love this. So choosing whether or not you want to have children can be one of the most complex decisions that a person has to make in their lives. They may question whether or not they have enough money or time or patience or energy to raise a child. They may have concerns about their partner or memories about their own parents that factor into their decision. Or they may simply be unsure about whether or not they're ready to take a new, you know, a new role that they'll have for the rest of their lives. It's hard to be a mom. It's the hardest job. There is no right or wrong answer when it comes to the question of, do you want to have children? And the only thing that is certain is that once you have them, your life is completely changed, sometimes in ways that you may never have imagined. It's important to understand this, even if there's nothing that can fully prepare you for it. So today I am joined by the amazing Jessica Gallo, a licensed clinical social worker who specializes in women's issues, prenatal, mental health, healing for trauma, depression, anxiety, loss, healthy relationship, child development, parenting, and managing major life transitions. And the incredible Nikki Guevara de Tagle. She's my baby boo. She's the close friend of my daughter, and she's the sister of my best friend, Jessica Guevara from the Philippines. Hey, who just gave birth. While we discuss balancing work and motherhood during the pandemic, a situation that no parent was prepared for. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
Thank you so much for coming to our show. Okay, this is so exciting. Nix, I know, ladies, if you hear the baby cry, we can't do anything. She has to attend to the baby.
Poor baby.
Yeah, and this is the real, you know, this is the real life. Your husband is at work. You're alone. You just gave birth and you have the dogs with you, right, Jessica?
Right.
Okay, so I wanna ask you this first. For some women who feel significant shame as a result, as if it meant that they won't be able to be good mothers or worry that something was wrong with them, right? I mean, a lot of moms, you know, think about that. So how, I want to ask you first, what exactly is the postpartum depression and what are the some of the early signs?
Sure. I'm really glad we're talking about this because this was an issue, obviously, before COVID.
Yeah.
But the rates have actually tripled since the pandemic started of postpartum depression. And I think it's not a coincidence because so many women are even more isolated than before.
Yes.
And so, yes, actually, one of the signs is feeling like a failure, feeling inadequate. Mm-hmm. Some of the early signs early on are things like trouble sleeping, even when the baby is sleeping. So insomnia, kind of avoiding people and not wanting to connect with people. Okay. Obviously, scary thoughts or thoughts of feeling really hopeless and like things are never going to get better. I think sometimes in the early stages of motherhood, you feel like this is going to be forever. I'm never going to get sleep again. And so to know that this is the beginning period and it will end and there will be a shift and there will be other things that come along. And I think the important piece is there's something called the baby blues. About 80% of women get it. It's within the first couple of weeks after you give birth. Your hormones are shifting.
Yeah.
You're kind of like thrown into this new tornado of feeding, being up all night, kind of being in shifts of 3 hours of feeding constantly, and your body's recovering. Mm-hmm. And so it's very normal within the first couple of weeks for many women to really get weepy and down. Their hormones are shifting everywhere. They're breastfeeding possibly, or maybe they're having trouble breastfeeding. And one of the big signs is if this continues or worsens after that 2 weeks. So if this is still going on a couple months in, and often people don't realize until about 8 or 9 months.
That's what I told Nikki.
Yeah, that's actually the general peak of postpartum depression. Yeah.
Right. So baby blues and postpartum depression are not the same.
No.
I didn't know that. Oh.
They're really different. Yeah. Okay. So baby blues is something that most women get, about 80%. And it's just short-lived. And it's kind of the natural, normal progression of becoming a mother and being tired. And so the difference is when it goes on much longer than that first couple of weeks and the symptoms worsen and you're feeling hopeless and disconnected. And so they're two different things. Thank you for asking that.
Oh, wow. But Nikki, right now, I asked you this, I think the other day, right? Or 3 days ago, I'm sure you're not really feeling it yet, right? Because you basically only just gave birth a month ago, right?
Three weeks ago.
Okay.
So actually, a few days ago, because right now I'm at the point where I only have 3-4 hours of sleep on a daily basis.
Yes.
I can't breastfeed right now because my daughter has a lip tie.
Mm-hmm.
So few days ago, I literally just broke down and I cried. I cried and I cried and I'm like, I don't know what to do, because she wouldn't stop crying. I've tried everything. I cleaned her up. I fed her. I did everything, but she just kept screaming and screaming, and I felt so hopeless. Like, I did not know what to do. I felt like a failure because I couldn't understand my own child. You know, it's like, you know, I gave birth to you. I'm supposed to understand you. I'm supposed to connect with you. But there was just, I couldn't do anything. I just felt so awful.
Yeah. Jessica, what do you think? What advice do you, you know, can you give her?
So here's the first thing.
Like, I mean, I'm sure all of these moms who just gave, you know, gave birth are experiencing what you're experiencing, Nyx.
Absolutely.
Stress. And especially during the pandemic. Like, oh my gosh.
No help at all.
Yeah. Yes. And you could even hire a help to help you, because
I don't want to, because you know, the pandemic. Because original plan was my mom and my dad and my older sister here.
Yeah.
To help me. Take care of the baby, but then this whole pandemic happened, so we had to cancel it. So, you know, I'm left with me, myself, and I. Yeah. It's during the day that's, you know, tough.
That you're alone.
I'm alone. Yeah. I'm doing chores. I'm taking care of the fur babies. I'm taking care of her. Yeah. It's like, oh my God, when is it going to end?
Yeah. So what do you think, Jessica? What can she, you know, what can you advise, to give her? And
first,
everyone?
I want to say, give yourself a lot of self-compassion. This is a once-in-a-lifetime experience, this transition to motherhood. And it's your initiation into motherhood. And I want to say, I think it's really important what you're sharing, because I think so many women are handed this baby and we're told we're just supposed to be instantly bonded and know exactly how to care for this baby.
Manual.
Yeah, and there is no manual. And I think it's more common than people realize that you're not going to be instantly bonded and instantly understand how to soothe your baby. And it takes time to get to know them. They're this new little person, this new little soul that's kind of come into your life. And so it's normal for there to be like a learning curve there. And I think you're also highlighting something so important, which is that we were not meant to do this whole mothering thing all alone. In modern motherhood, especially it's highlighted in the pandemic, we've kind of expected women to like stay at home all day with an infant. And it's never in the history of the universe been done that way. Yes. It's always been done in community with neighbors, aunties, grandma, you know, and, you know, in our modern world, we're kind of expecting women to do something that is not, especially in the pandemic, it's really exacerbated. So I think my advice would be for all moms, whether they're struggling with postpartum depression or any mood issues or not, even if they're not having a significant mood issue, is to really try to connect with other moms in any way possible, because we're really not supposed to do this alone. And it gets really hard.
Actually.
Yeah. How do you identify it? And then if ever, you know, that's one question. How do you identify it? And how do you identify the postpartum?
Yeah. So I think one of the things is the first thing we talked about, if it continues on. So if you have a couple of nights like that, and you're just kind of beside yourself and you're tired and you're feeling like, oh, I'm never going to get this baby to calm down. That's normal. If it begins to really go on and get worse and you're starting to notice the impact on your mood and your motivation to even care for the baby or yourself, if you're noticing, you know, more and more feeling like a failure every day, not just kind of in the middle of the night at 2 a.m. when you can't get the baby down. If you're feeling like you don't want to connect with people, obviously when you're having, if you have more thoughts of wanting, you know, scary thoughts, then you definitely want to get help, but hopefully people can connect before it gets to that place. The other thing we don't talk about is postpartum anxiety and postpartum rage. I think there's so much.
Yeah. You know, I want to talk about that rage, Nika. I think I mentioned that to you.
Yeah.
What are the scary tests? Do you have any question, Nyx?
Recently I've been really anxious, like especially when I'm alone. So sometimes I go to a dark place and like I don't need to go to a dark place. It just happens.
Yeah.
Like I see my baby getting hurt. Not me. Like I don't hurt her. It's more of like crazy things like her falling off the stairs or like me, you know, when I'm changing her and suddenly breaking her bones.
Oh,
like not in a crazy way, but like it's more of my fear of hurting her or like seeing other external things hurting her. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
It's not that
I know exactly what you mean.
Not that I want to think about it. Maybe I've been watching too much Grey's Anatomy. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. it's normal.
I think you should watch anything. You know, I went through anxiety, Nicks, right? I went through really dark anxiety. And the one thing that I avoided first is watching horror movies, watching any, you know, detective or, you know, anything. I only watch happy romantic movies. That's all I watch. Even this Undoing, I just watched Undoing and already it's already in my mind. Like, oh my gosh. It gets scary. Yeah. Jessica, can you define scary thoughts? What is like, what does it mean? And how do you prevent this? I mean, you can't really prevent it, but how?
Yeah. So this is actually a really good example of what I meant. There's obviously a range of scary thoughts. Uh-huh. And what she's talking about, Nikki, is intrusive thoughts. So these are like thoughts that are kind of like popping up in our mind that we don't really want to have them. And they're causing us stress and they're causing us anxiety. And it's not like something that we want to do or we want to happen, but it just keeps coming up over and over. And so those are really tough. And I think it's actually not that uncommon. And I think the pandemic is also making it worse because we're thinking anyone who's had any history of anxiety in the past, we're now like all germaphobes, right? So anyone who naturally, if it wasn't a pandemic, you might have been the kind of person who was a little bit anxious about your baby being held by someone or touched by someone. You know, before the pandemic, you'd walk down the street and people would come up and put their face in the baby's face or touch them or want to hold them. And many moms would like tense up and try to figure out how to set boundaries around that. And now it's like tenfold because we're scrubbing everything. we're so anxious and rightfully so about our babies being exposed to something that could potentially hurt them and hurt us. And so it's really exacerbating anxiety for a lot of people who may have already had it. And I think, you know, talking to a therapist, talking to other moms, talking to your doctor, I think when you go in for that postpartum check, they're not always super extensive about checking in about mood stuff. So speaking up to them about it, making sure you're telling people how you feel. I think often where people say, how are you? How's the baby? And you're like, fine, we're great. And I think if you have safe people in your life who you trust to be vulnerable, to tell them what's really going on. And I think you'll find that other mothers are going through similar things.
Yeah, Nix, you have that. You have us. You have your sisters. You know, the good thing about us, we're both Filipinos. So we have when I was having my anxiety, it always occurred in the middle of the night. So we're so lucky, Nix, that we have, you know, I call her sister when I'm going through stuff because it's daytime in them. So you can literally talk to them. That's one thing good about, you know, us, right? I mean, but you haven't experienced, have you experienced that scary moment yet, Nix?
No, I think that I can avoid.
Yeah.
But, you know, I haven't so far, thankfully.
Yeah. That's good.
One of the things I encourage moms to do who are pregnant or even if they're already in the postpartum period is creating like a holistic postpartum plan. We make this huge birth plan, right? But we don't always focus on the postpartum plan. And what I mean by holistic is something that addresses like your emotional health, your physical health, your relationships, things that are going to logistically support you. So, you know, you really do, you can't be alone with the baby all day. You do need that break for you, and shifting that, you know, a break for you is a necessity. It's not a luxury, because you need that break in order to function and be the best mom you can be.
What are, and I think, do you want to find out about those holistic stuff?
Why not?
And how do we take a break? Can you like tell us?
So I think, like I talked about, kind of just piecing together what works for you. I think for some people, the emotional piece means going to therapy, going to a group and having a community. One of the reasons that groups can be so helpful is, like Jessica was saying, in the middle of the night when you're all alone, having other women who are in the same phase as you, who also might be up in the middle of the night, to text or to check in is really important. I found when I first had my baby, I was like, I don't need a mommy and me group. I can just do it on my own. And at the last minute I signed up for one, and it like changed my life. I am so glad I did it. And I'm still connected with a lot of those women, and they really have gotten me through that period. So I always encourage people to find one that they connect with, because sometimes you go to one and it's like, oh, this isn't really for me. So that's one thing. And then, so like creating community, creating support systems. So I'm going to need my husband to feed the baby so I can get sleep once a night, or whatever works for you, creating a plan. Yeah.
Okay.
And then like, it depends on your birth. So sometimes you need some physical support. So there's actually physical therapists who focus on only pregnant and postpartum women, who really know about like the physical recovery that can help. Or workout classes that are only, you know, for postpartum women, where the people facilitating are really, you know, you're not going to your regular yoga class or your regular boot camp. It's someone who really is knowledgeable. And obviously your medical providers, or if you like natural medicine, going to a natural medicine doctor. Kind of piecing together, what I mean by a holistic plan is piecing together all these pieces that you really need, that kind of get pushed to the side when you're just functioning and feeding your baby and like trying to get through the day.
Yeah. We have a question from, hold on. We have a Twitter question. Nix, before I read this, why is it that I don't feel a connection with my newborn? I sometimes want to do nothing with him. Oh, is that normal?
Yeah, I think so. I think some women feel that way. And I think we have this idea that, again, like, we're going to get this baby handed to us and we're just going to be so in love and we're going to understand this baby. And that, again, it doesn't always happen. Sometimes it takes some time to get to know your baby. Yeah. You're also, you've just gone through a lot, depending on how your birth and pregnancy were. So you're kind of learning together how to do this like mother baby thing. You're both learning. You're both new at it, especially if you're a first time mom. And so it's not uncommon for at first people to struggle with, I think that's one of the common misconceptions, that all of a sudden you're going to be in love with your baby and you might really want that bond and you might really crave that bond, and it might not come as easily and naturally to everyone. Some people it does. So take time.
Yeah.
Hope it grows and nurture it.
Yeah, that's true. Nikki, there's a question for you. She wants, what do you want new mothers? Can you advise the new mothers to know what you have learned for the past 3 weeks?
What I learned the past 3 weeks.
Is there anything that you've found, like, you know, like tips, or maybe something that you've found rewarding, you know, from...
Yes. So remember when I cried a few days ago? It's just, I felt so hopeless. She was crying and crying, and I was just looking at her, and all of a sudden, she stops crying, and all of a sudden, she gives me this big smile, and she starts to giggle, and oh my God, I'm getting emotional. And literally, I just forget everything. It's like, wow, you know, this is all worth it. If I have to go through all of this, you know, no sleep,
Yeah.
I don't care as long as I see my baby, you know, happy, you know, being fed properly.
Yeah.
And I think one thing I've learned is that your baby is actually the teacher, and you are this, and I was, you know, about, you know, motherhood, about life. And I don't know, just seeing her face, it's a reward enough for me.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. I think it's something so many women experience, and that small moment can, that nugget can away and just overcome with healing can last you a while.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really important piece. Hold on to that, those moments as much as you can.
Yeah, my gosh, Nick. I mean, Jessica, Nikki, I have three children. The two were easy because, you know, in the Philippines, my first two, I can grab, because, you know, we have nannies in the Philippines. But when I moved here, I still have one, but then it was hard. And this is not even the COVID time. So, I mean, I can just imagine how, you know, what you're going through and stuff. I had one particular, oh my gosh, Jessica, Dickie, can I just share with you one particular thing I think that I thought postpartum was, I was so jealous. Like, I think my jealousy, like, I think this is like what you said about the rage. I was one of those. I was like a tiger. My jealousy, like, I think it became 20 times, like, 20 times. What advice can you give? It's so weird. I literally got jealous with every single person that's just literally talks to my husband. It's like not normal. What advice can you give? I mean, right? I mean, Jessica.
Well, I think you bring up a really good and interesting topic, which is, first of all of these things kind of play out differently for each of us, right?
Yeah.
And it shifts the dynamic in our relationship with our partners.
Yeah.
And I think when we become a mother, it's a different relation. Mothers and fathers have different relationships than husbands and wives and boyfriends and girlfriends, or, you know, all the various partnerings that happen. And so I think
Also, I was jealous of my daughter. It's crazy. Uh-huh. Right. Oh my gosh. I was jealous. I remembered. Okay, Jess. Sorry. Why is that? Yeah.
Well, I think there's a shift in identity, right? And if a lot of your identity was wrapped up in being kind of an adored wife, and now you've become a mother, and oftentimes, especially if you have an older child, the husband then needs to help out more with that older child, right?
Yeah.
And you're kind of focused more on the baby. And so sometimes the attention gets shifted a bit and gets spread out a bit. And it sounds like for you, that was hard. And you like your attention from your husband. And that's just... It changes because, you know, you're navigating this new, what does our family look like now? And and you can't, especially in that first phase, you can't fully be present, certainly not physically and emotionally the way that you were able to be before in a romantic way.
Yeah.
And that's normal that you can't do that. It takes time.
So you know now, Nyx, right? You have to be a little bit patient, right? Is there
one thing that I'm learning from Shiloh, from my daughter's patience?
Yeah, Nyx,
it'll teach you that.
Nyx, have you been doing anything in particular to create or maintain balance since your baby was born? And do you have any questions for Jessica as well?
No, I haven't been doing anything. It's not bad, right? I mean, honestly, I try to spend time with my husband. You know, we try to have date night upstairs. We just watch a movie with a baby there.
Yeah.
But it's still different. It's different. I know, a lot of mommies told me that this was before I gave birth. They were like, things are going to change. Your relationship is going to change. Your whole world is going to change. And now I understand what they meant about it.
Yeah. Jessica, I'm sorry to ask you this. One mom, it's a third question. Is there, what about the postpartum sex? Is that a big problem as well, you know, for the women out there?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, first of all, you physically are not able to.
Yeah, because you're drained and just, you know.
Yeah.
And the husband takes it personal, right?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And
they have to be understanding.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is, again, one of the things that's really helpful to plan for beforehand, or at least be kind of have a conversation about as partners beforehand, that the reality is that that part of your life is going to be put on hold probably for a minimum of 6 weeks, if not much longer, depending on how that really year long goes. It's not going to go back to normal right away. And sometimes it just shifts. And that can be really hard because many couples are so connected in that way. And I think to understand that this is a new kind of chapter in the relationship and connecting in other ways that are really meaningful is really important. And I think it is hard because I think a lot of women feel like they want to like push themselves to in kind of an overload sensory experience with breastfeeding, if they're breastfeeding, or even if they're bottle feeding. The baby's on top of you all the time. You're not getting sleep. You're physically recovering. You're probably, there's bleeding for a while. There's just a lot of physical pain and healing that's going on. And so the idea of having sex for many women is not exactly the most enticing. So that is normal. And that doesn't mean it's going to be gone forever. You'll get it back, and it will come back in a new and improved or different way. But
did you hear that, Nikki?
Watching.
wait, but I want to know how long does it last?
Postpartum mood issues that can last anywhere up to 2 years. I think we have this idea that, like, you know, and that is especially if you're not getting support and treatment. If you're, you know, and that's why kind of getting the support early on is helpful, because you can, if you get that support early on, it can be much shorter than that. If you're talking about like the physical postpartum recovery, there's something that we call the fourth trimester. Have either of you heard of this?
Oh, no. Yeah. What's that?
So technically,
tell us
what I'm going through.
It is. You're still in the first.
What did you say, Nikki? What did you say?
The fourth. Still in the fourth. What I'm going through right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So biologically, we are one of the only mammals who basically gives birth to a baby who's not really ready to come out. So a lot of, like, there's other mammals. And our babies are basically like 3 months early, but if we waited three more months, they wouldn't be able to come out of us. So what happens is, for that the first three months, essentially the baby's nervous system isn't fully developed, and so they still kind of are like a fetus. It's meant that you're supposed to treat them like a fetus, so they can't regulate themselves, and so we become their nervous system. So it's a lot of work.
I think that's the beauty of motherhood.
Yes.
That's when you get to connect with your baby, you get to take care of her. That's where unconditional love happens.
A lot of the early attachment bonding happens there because they are so 100% reliant on you to care for them and soothe them. And even if you can't soothe them, meaning they're not going to stop crying, just being there with them, that reliable caregiver is something that is an imprint for the rest of their life. So it's really powerful, this fourth trimester experience.
Wow, Jess. I mean, I wish I knew you.
Well, now you know.
That's why when I thought of someone, I said, Nick, she just gave birth and she's my best friend's sister. I said, you have to be on the show. You have to learn from her. I said, this is like This is like amazing. And then the holidays as well. I mean, Nyx, I really feel so bad because you won't have any help. Like normally we would have been there for you, your whole family, but it's just like
whole family supporting their kids.
Yeah.
Oh my
God. They have to cancel all of the plans.
Wait, Nyx, Yeah. What is that, Jess?
I was just going to say, I think so many women who are pregnant and recently gave birth are in this, like, I want to honor that for all of them, that there is this like mourning of the fact that their experience has been kind of muted. They haven't been able to have the big celebrations, and they haven't been able to maybe enlist the help that they really need or to have the family connection that they want. So I just want to honor that so many women are mourning that loss, and it is a loss.
Right. Having this COVID and then not the whole family is not being around you, it's like literally like a loss for us, right? I mean, not for me, but for you. How do we somehow celebrate that, Jess? I mean, how do we pick up from there? Like Nyx, I can't even celebrate with you. I can't even, when she came home, I want to go there. I said, oh, I can't even like go see her.
But I'm just so paranoid.
I know.
You're not paranoid. You're being cautious and responsible.
Okay. That is a good answer. Yes.
Yeah. And I think, you know, there's the flip side of this coin too, which is that a lot of the pressures that new moms feel to like host people at their house and have everybody hold the baby, which also causes some anxiety for people, that is not pressure that people have to feel this time of year. And I think the advice I would give around mourning this loss is finding just, I think like we've all had to do in 2020, finding like the joy and the simplicity, the simple stuff, and being like really checking in on each other, really finding creative ways to show love and connection. And gotta check in on each other, especially new mamas.
Yeah. Okay. Just my gosh, we're already done. hold on, Nikki, before I want Jessica to give us like a, you know, like the last advice. But Nikki, there's a question for you. Mom knows where you got the baby chair. It's adorable.
The best thing ever.
Oh my God, it's the best thing ever. Like when my baby cries, I put her in there and she stops. There are six motions.
What is it and who makes it?
It's Four Moms. It's by Mamaru.
Okay, Mamaru, Four Moms. Okay.
They sponsor me because I'm helping them.
Why do you love it?
You know what? It has six motions. Like,
oh,
six
good.
Different kinds of motions. Like there's a kangaroo motion. There's like a drive motion.
Yeah.
It just moves differently. And then there's a speed too.
Yeah, and look at that. The baby just did cry. See, the baby knows that you need this. You need this advice. Right, Shiloh? Last question for you before I go to Jessica. Yeah. Nikki, is there any insight that you'd like to offer our listeners who may currently be pregnant during this time, including tips that helped you as well?
Honestly, I just took everything in. You know, just be happy. Just thank God for that little blessing inside your tummy. I know things are hard. Things are really hard. You know, my husband couldn't even come with me when we heard the first heartbeat. Any of my appointments, he couldn't make it. And, you know, this is our first baby. And we did IVF. We've been trying for 4 years. And like, now that we have this baby, it happened during a pandemic. And I'm not complaining or anything. I'm actually very thankful.
Yeah.
But just take everything with a grain of salt. Thank God for all the blessings. I think that's all the advice I can give you.
Aw, Nyx.
I'm trying to stay positive.
Yeah,
stay positive.
I think I know it's I know that when you're going through this, you're very sleep deprived. Try to sleep as much as you can. Exactly. Sleep. Okay, that's very important. I've learned that from my anxiety. When I don't sleep, that's when my anxiety, you know, used to, my anxiety was like really popping like into darkness. But then when I sleep, oh my gosh, like I'm so happy. So, yeah. Right. Jessica, what advice, you know, can advice, final advice that you can give all these women? I'll give the whole, you know, 3 minutes for you. For pregnant women to postpartum, you know, what are the signs, you know, everything. And then after.
Well, first of all, this I want to second the sleep, because this mm-hmm. it's nearly impossible to get enough sleep during the postpartum period. And so figuring out a way to get that sleep will make everything better. And know that it's not going to be forever that you are this sleep deprived.
Yeah.
But lack of sleep, like you're saying, it really impacts our ability to like be present during the day, to manage our anxiety or our stress or our sadness. When we don't have sleep, we just are not our full selves. And so it is so important, and finding space for that and working with your partner or whoever is your support system to get some is really important. I think, you know, having just, I think this whole year has been something that new moms experience, which is that we all kind of have to slow down. I think when you get pregnant and when you have, especially after the baby comes, there's a forced slowing down that happens, and you're back to basics. And I think that that's part of the beautiful transition to motherhood and slowing down and paying attention to yourself and being really mindful of what you're going through and what you need, because there's so much focus on the baby, as it should be. And you're also kind of, you've given birth to a new person who is like the new version of yourself too. And you're getting to know, who am I now in this new role, and mm-hmm. how is my life going to look? And having patience and self-compassion with yourself and connecting with other women, even virtually. I'm running a group starting in January, the Mommy Tribe group.
Good. So, Nikki, maybe you can join. Where can they find you? Where can they reach you, Jess?
Sure. So my website is Jessica Gallo, GalloLCSW.com. And I'm on Instagram, Therapy with Jessie G.
Okay.
And I have mommy groups and individual therapy, and lots of offerings. And I highly recommend, if you are having any of the signs we've talked about today, or even if you're not and you just want some support, connecting with a therapist, talking to your doctor. There's Google, you know, there's Psychology Today, Zen Care. So there's lots of places to connect and resources out there.
Thank you so much, Jess. Nix, you heard all of this, right? Okay.
So nice to meet you, Nikki.
Yeah, so nice to meet you. Nix, you can contact her. You can join the group if you, you know, I think you will need it. So, yeah, can anyone join?
I'd love to have you.
Yeah, can anyone join the group? Anybody can join the group, right?
Yeah, we do a little bit of a like intake and we'll join the group. Yeah.
Okay.
And it'll be a nice support community for women.
I love what you do, Jess.
Starting in January.
Yeah. Thank you so much, you guys. My gosh, we're done. So fast. Thank you so much, Jessica. I love you, ladies. Thank you for all your advice. Thank you so much. And Nix, you know what to do. Okay. Take care, you guys. And don't forget to give love to the next person that you see after watching and listening to our show today, ladies. Follow me on The Polished Woman, all of The Polished Woman. Remember that while being a parent is a full-time job, that doesn't mean that you shouldn't find ways to make time for yourself. Relax, recharge, and be kind to yourself. And sleep, 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 sleep. And drink water. Thank you. Bye. Thank you for watching. Love you.
Through faith.